Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span. This is episode number 56 over here with these Beer and Chicken shenanigans. And right now we rocking out to some Do or Die, Player Like Me and You, man. Old school shit. Rock out with your boys.
Smoke it right with a player like me and you. Up in Kenya, smoke it right with a player like me and you.
Hey man, whoever mixed that though, like that shit low as fuck, bro. Like you ever notice that? Like them niggas that had like a problem with the volume controls in the mix, you know what I'm saying?
They had no problem if you ask me, no problem.
Nigga, I had to turn this shit damn near all the way up.
You just got a bad file. That's all that is.
This is Spotify, man. I don't know. Shit. And it ain't just them. I mean, that album, man, like the album was mixed low. That's all I'm saying. What's cracking? We got the homeboy Cliff in here with us. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What is going down, man? This weather is changing, and I ain't saying for the better.
Well, you know, it happens every year, nigga. You know, you gotta get prepared.
Oh, really? Really?
I'm just
every
saying,
year.
Gotta get prepared for it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, unlike you mere mortals, I work outside, so, you know.
Really? Mere mortals? This ain't like, you know, Game of Thrones.
Like you mere mortals, nigga. I am a motherfucker. Yeah. I'm a White Walker, goddammit. I be out there all in the snow, bro. Trudging through it, trying to make sure people's houses is warm and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Thank you. Well, look, I'm not Detroit, but I'm sure they're thanking you right now. So
no, they ain't. No, they ain't. Niggas hate to see us coming. Like, what y'all want? Niggas hate to see us coming, bro. Real talk. Like, these niggas here. Why they sitting in the truck ain't doing nothing? Getting paid, punk motherfuckers. People
hate just mad. Most of them are just mad because y'all getting paid.
Well, it depends on the area. It depends on the area, right? Like, if you're in a more affluent area, they're more so annoyed with the fact that you are inconveniencing them. And, in some of the more economically depressed areas, they more like, nigga, why are you over here trying to cut somebody's shit off? Like, so it's just like, it depends on where you at, you know, would determine, like, how people respond to your presence being on a block, man, real talk. But, yo, what you been up to other than losing at fantasy football, man? He can't even say shit.
Look, first of all, I don't care, you know, L is an L and a W is a W, inch of a mile. So, you know, I'm losing, and this is my first, you know, crack at the fantasy thing. And one thing I'm learning, like every time we get on the show, well, especially the last 2 weeks, is that you have to really pay attention to who's hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Who has a bye week.
Yeah.
And then who's sucking. Let's just finish it off with that one. Yeah. And then you got to pay attention to somebody who's on your bench who's killing. All right. So.
See that part, like when somebody's out there killing and they on the bench, you just more like, ain't this a bitch? Because like it's like playing cards, almost like, man, I could have cut this motherfucker with this three, but nah, man.
Well, listen, within the last 2 weeks, I've suffered every bit of everything we just said. I had a bye, a dude who sucked, somebody who got cut, somebody who got hurt, and then the good players on my bench putting up like 12, 13 points. I'm like, damn, no wonder I ain't getting no points, yo.
Well, the other part that you got to kind of pay attention to are like some of the actual NFL matchups, right? Like who's can do, like what kind of matchups are conducive to your guy playing well in that game? Like, it's quite a bit that you got to kind of pay attention to, like who's hurt or whatever. Does my guy, if this guy's hurt, do I have somebody who I can plug in that can kind of offset some of the points that I'm losing because this guy's hurt? But yeah, man, like this your first season, man, you got to take your lumps. You know, you got to take your lumps. I'm taking a lump tonight, man. I'm going to end up losing this game. This was like really going to be like a battle for first place, and your man Span ain't getting it. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Aunt Mon Linda.
She losing.
Only undefeated team right now.
And she going to lose that tonight. She's going to lose tonight.
Okay. Well, as of right now, she's the only undefeated team right now.
As of tomorrow, she's gonna have an L. She's gonna have at least one L. So we're gonna have I think E-Tate is about to be the top dog in the league right now.
He already has an L.
Yeah, he already has an L, but he's beating me, and he has more. Yeah. And he already has more points than both me and your aunt. The only reason your aunt right now is in that top spot was because she was undefeated, but he's got more points than her. So with that one loss he's got and that one loss she's about to take, he's about to take that top spot.
So you're saying the points, I'm looking at this now.
Points four. Points
right five. Here where it says PF?
Yep, points four.
Oh, he has 584. I didn't know that. Yeah, see, so something new.
So like when you are in so if you got the same record as somebody else, the tiebreaker that determines
the
better spot are the points that you've been able to score.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
So I'm trending to be third in the league right now. And
I'm just not trending.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? I'm not in last place.
Well, you
how
ain't, about that? They got you trending last, though.
No.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I'm
Fuck
looking at
you.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it right now. So
they got you tripping. Fuck they. How about that? Whoever y'all is.
I'm about to take L's in both the leagues. I mean, I'm in the homies from the Shoot from the Hip podcast. I'm in their football league as well, man. And I had 3-1 records in both of these leagues. I'm about to take an L in both of these leagues this week, man. It's just not been a good week for your boy. Just hasn't been a good week for your boy. But we're going to go ahead and just hop into our recap real quick. As let's see, we got – let me just go into the full scoreboard here. And we got come on, shit, load the fuck up. Act like we're trying to do something today. All right.
So I got the scores if you have to read them down right here.
I got them. Okay. Team name to be determined is they beating the brakes off of Goose right now, man. Oh, my God. This man is about to lose by damn near 100 points. Whoo, man.
100 points?
Damn near. He's losing 172.7 to 79. So, yeah, Goose about to go 0-5. He's dead last in the league. All that shit he talked before the season started, man. God.
Hey, shout out to Goose for holding down the last spot.
hey, in the league I used to run before, man, we used to call last place, like, you know, we gave out a trophy. It was called the Dookie Cup. And he was shoveling shit, basically, man. Right, right right now, the goose on the way to that Dookie Cup. That's all I'm saying. The Miami Swipers are leading against the Panic at the Nabisco, 135.9 to 80. Both of those teams are 2-2, so that's kind of a – somebody's going to move up. Let's just say that. The Godzilla Dogs, 4-0, are – and they're playing the Bad News Bears, who are 2-2, and the Bad News Bears right now – are winning 134.6 to 121.3. And they the Bad News Bears still have two players left to play. Godzilla Dogs have played all their players, so it's a wrap. They've lost that game. Right now, I'm losing. The Detroit Hater Haters are losing to Team Tate 97.7 to 146.5. It just wasn't a good week, man. I had a lot of guys. I had buys and everything. And one of the guys, I didn't even play LeSean McCoy, and I should have. But, you know, it is what it is. Team Tate probably going to take over that number one spot. And Harvest Hitmen are taking it to your boy Cliff, man. 119.1 to 81.5. Cliff is about, well, both of y'all are 1-3, but Harvest Hitmen is about to be 2-3, and you about to be 1-4. So there you go, man. That's the recap of the league right now. A little bit of movement, a little bit of movement. Some people are going to be moving around in the standings, man. So, you said you had some questions about like how like free agency and stuff like that works, right?
Yeah. And before the show, we were talking about it some, but, I mean, I get it now, and I guess I needed these last couple of weeks taking these L's, to really understand, why I was losing. Because here's the thing, the players on my team who were putting up points, they were putting up good points. And then the reason why I was losing is because the guys that were not playing for whatever reason, whether if it's a bye or they're injured or they got released or whatever, I just had zero. You see what I'm saying?
You never made those roster adjustments.
Right. And I think we talked last week that I didn't know that I had to like keep up with this in that manner. You know, so now Tuesday, as you said, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to see what the deal is and make some adjustments, man, because I have an open slot on my roster because of AB. And I have two injured players. I had a guy who had a bye last week, and I got another guy. Hold on, where is he at? Ooh, interesting. Let me just look at this real quick. And see, like, I just didn't know all this. I would have definitely made some adjustments. So, like, right now. Okay. They just started. But, no, I have basically three open slots right now, man.
On the active roster or spots open on
the two on the active.
Oh, well, that would, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right there, like, if I'd have got 10 points for each one of them, I'd have been in the game tonight, basically. And then I had the spot, open slot for AB. And then on my bench, I got four guys who put up 20-something points. Possibly.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, you know when the game, like, mostly Thursday, Sunday, and Monday are when the games are played.
Yeah.
So you got to make your adjustments on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And, you know, hopefully you pick the right combination of dudes that produce enough points for you to win the game.
Can I ask you another question? I change my defense?
Yeah. If there's a defense available on the, like on free agency or whatever, you can just go ahead and pick up another defense. You can drop your defense that you have, or you can keep them, put them on the bench, and have another defense.
Another one? Yeah. Okay.
It's just like having a defense special teams is just like having any other player. So you can pick those up. If there's a team available, like you can pick those up right there in free agency or whatever. Mm. And chances are you may end up having to swap out or have a second defense available anyway, because your defense is eventually going to have a bye week. They're not going to play. So you're going to have somebody to plug. You don't have to have another team to plug into that spot while your main team is, you know, not playing that week.
Right.
So,
well, I get it now, and I'm going to have to, set aside some time for this. Well, I'm going to have to set aside some time, man, because other than that, I will not look at it until 30 minutes before this show.
Well, I mean, shit, most of the football games start around 1 o'clock or something like that Eastern time. You can make your adjustments Sunday morning. You can make adjustments on Saturday. You can make adjustments. Like, it's 4 days in the week, and really it only takes a few minutes, man. It's not like you you get on the app, man. You be like, all right, so who's available? What do I got? Let me swap this out. Let me put this in. It's really not a whole lot. Like, you're like, man, it's not a lot.
I get that.
Especially if you follow football.
And guess what? I don't watch any of the games. You know what I do? Like, if we wasn't on this podcast right now and I'm in the bed, I'll be going to the ESPN app and see. Let me take that back. The Bears and, of course, the Patriots, I get the alerts while they're playing, right? Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't care. I don't care until we do the show, because then I'm going to go on and see what the heck happened today. And guess what? Thursday, I go to my cigar lounge and I watch the Thursday night. I love that. That'd be a hot game. Tomorrow, I'm going to go watch the game at my cigar lounge. Other than that, Sundays, I'm pretty much with the fam a lot. So it's hard to really sit down and, you know, start at noon, the 3 o'clock game, and then, you know, the game that just came on. That's tough for me, you know, with the kids and everything. So lucky you.
Nah, I'm hearing you talk all this woe is me shit. I ain't got time to do a 2 minute fucking adjustment. Like, I got the kids with me, man. I can't be making, like, nigga, it takes 2 minutes.
No, and you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna wake up on a Sunday morning and be like, all right, who injured? Who got a bye? And all that other stuff. And I'll be like, drop, add, or whatever else is going on. So
you got up until kickoff. You got up until kickoff before that player's game starts to make your adjustment. So there you go, cool, man. So
you want me to hit these NFL scores real quick?
NFL scores? No.
Okay.
No, because actually what we got a lot on our plate tonight. So
okay.
First things first, we've got the college athletes are – there are two bills going on, one in Illinois, one in California, about paying college athletes. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. There's a rap beef going on between Dame Lillard and Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, God.
We're going to judge who win that, because, as a matter of fact, Dame Lillard, I think, just dropped another song in his beef, and I ain't heard it yet, but I did save it so we could talk about it here tonight. I saw something interesting about Jerry Reinsdorf and how he runs the teams that he owns, mainly the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago White Sox. And I ain't really feeling this nigga, man. Like, I'm kind of like, this some bullshit, right? And that's just what I got. What you bringing to the table tonight, homie?
Definitely Joe Madden. I mean, you know, the Cubs. I mean,
that too. Yeah.
You love in that right now.
Yeah, that too. We're gonna talk about that. Matter of fact, go ahead and kick that off right now. Go ahead and get it on. Joe Madden.
You just love this one. First of all, I predicted last year that he only has so much time left anyway.
You did?
Yes, I probably didn't speak about that on the show, but I'm very vocal about that last year, because last year their bullpen started to linger a little bit. And one thing about Epstein, if you don't know who Epstein is, he is the GM for the Cubs. He is very big on bullpens, pitching, for those who are not really involved with baseball terminology. And that's one of the main reasons. Well, I'm not going to say one of the main reasons. One of the reasons why the Cubs won the World Series, because they had a fantastic bullpen. Following their win, they started to get rid of players. They kept a lot of players, paid some players, and then those players started to fall off. Well, the thing is, in baseball, the reason why you have a bullpen, Madden, is when somebody messes up, you bring somebody else in, okay? I'm feeling myself right now because I'm upset. And I've been saying this about this dude, and now it has happened. So one thing that Madden has done, what he did was he would overrule the pitching coach's decision to bring in someone else in game time situations. Okay. Mm-hmm. About a month or two ago, the Cubs were in bottom of the ninth. They were up 4-2. Guy gets on base. He hits a base. He gets on. He gets a plate. Hits a base hit. He's on first. The pitcher walked the next five batters. Why wasn't somebody on the first walk? Somebody has to come in. The first walk. Nope. This when you see him do this, they twirl their fingers. That is what he has been doing. That's just an example for about the last 2 years, and I knew for a fact that his time was up. Guess what? He did a great job. He got them a World Series, and that's all he had to do in the first place was to get one. So he's in the books. I am not a fan of who the Cubs have in line to come in as a manager, one of them being their old catcher, which is Ross. I'm like, I don't know. But this is all about Madden. He got what he deserved, period. That's how I feel. He made bad decisions. And you have to be extremely faithful in your pitching coach's decision to bring in somebody else when it's time to. And he overruled them a lot. Mm. And I know you're in Detroit, and anybody else out there in the world who doesn't listen to WGN's radio program when the Cubs play, they used to go in on Madden for not making those pitching changes. They were like, what are you doing? Mm. He's messing up. So this was not a surprise. And the other day when Madden went in to talk to back office, we already knew they were going to tell him, hey, thanks, you know, but here's your pink slip. So that's my take. And I'm not the only one in Chicago that feels like that. Clearly, you have something funny to say because it's the Cubs. So go ahead and talk your ignorant mess, and I'll sit here and listen. But go ahead.
See, I don't really appreciate you trying to besmirch my character.
I'm not talking about your character. I know what you're gonna say something stupid. But
actually,
go ahead.
Actually, that wasn't where I was even going with it. Truth be told, man, I'm gonna just say this as an
outsider. For those that can't see my face right now, it's that
Yeah, pretty much. But who gives a fuck? As an outsider though.
Damn.
Cut me deep. As an outsider to this whole Cubs shit, I'm gonna just say this, man. The Cubs have been known as lovable losers 90% of our lives, right? Like, they hadn't won jack shit for like 100 years. Like, that's on record. Like, they hadn't won a motherfucking thing for 100 years, right? So it's odd to me to watch the Cubs unceremoniously just kick their manager to the curb that brought them the one World Series championship that they got in 100 fucking years. And it's only 2 years removed from that World Series championship.
Three years.
Okay. But they were, put it to you this way. While Joe Madden was managing the Cubs, as much as I dislike the Cubs were a perennial playoff contender while he was managing that team. Now, you can have issues with his pitching rotations and whatnot, as Cliff has, as a Cubs fan, articulated. He has very problematic pitching rotation decisions. But truth be told, man, I'm just kind of looking at this like I'm kind of amused at like how quickly shit turns around. You know what I'm saying? Like, suddenly the Cubs act like, oh, thank you for your services. You will no longer be needed. To the nigga who brought them to the mountaintop. I'm just like, hold up. It's almost Jerry Reinsdorf, Jerry Krause-esque. You know what I'm saying? Remember when Jerry Krause like was trying to get Phil Jackson the fuck up out of the Bulls? You know what I'm saying? Like, organizations win championships. When really it was like the guys on the court and the coaching staff that really did that shit. This kind of reeks a little bit of that. Now, you know, you're talking about WGN and the analysts and on the WGN, you know, questioning the coaching decisions or whatever else. All I'm gonna say is, it's weird. It's just kind of weird watching y'all go through these changes. Like, the loyalty y'all showed to Joe Madden after all that man did for y'all suddenly is, what have you done for me lately? I can't believe it, man. I saw that they let this man go. I'm like, what? Are you serious? They ain't won shit in 100 years. And this is how they do that, man? That's really all I got. That's really all I got.
You really have no ground to stand on at this point because you can't. You wouldn't understand why they let him go. You can't. Like, you know,
I just articulated why I don't understand it.
No. Okay. Well. Let me be a little. Let me clear this up then. Since you don't follow the Cubs and you don't watch the games,
yeah,
you don't understand. You don't understand.
Why would anybody do that to themselves? I mean, fuck the Cubs.
You wouldn't understand.
I feel like I should call DCFS on you, but subject to your sons to that bullshit. Like, I really do. Like I'm gonna call the peoples on the Bailey household, man. Real talk. Like, man, he got them kids over there working, like rooting for the Cubs. Pray for them. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
You see what I got to deal with, y'all. I've been dealing with this for 20 years. But, to understand why they let him go, you would really have to watch his decision-making and how it has affected their winning percentage. I don't care what sport you play, and I don't care if you did take him to the big game. If you start making bad decisions, and those decisions have affected the team and how and what the outcome of the game is, that's the source. I totally agree. He got us to the promised land, but he didn't do it alone. He actually there's one commentator on their radio program that said the year that the Cubs went to the World Series
certainly ain't got nothing to do with it. It wasn't all Joe Madden. It was all, come on, man, we can't
get... Hold on. You just said that it wasn't just Phil Jackson. It was his whole staff, too.
No, what I said was, this sounds Jerry Reinsdorf's... like, Jerry Reinsdorf Jerry Krause, when they was trying to break up the dynasty that was the Chicago Bulls, mainly it was about Jerry Krause exerting his own influence, like, yo, organizations win championships, and he was discounting the contributions of the players on the court and the coaches that put them in the position to win on the floor. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I hear that. And I was going to make a point to that, and I agree. One thing that Epstein made clear is that when the Cubs won the World Series, that Joe Madden had no control over when they were going to do a pitching change. When the pitching coach said it's time for Lester to come off the mound, that's what happened. And that changed. And guess what changed? How many games they won. The playoffs, all that. So, no, I get what you're saying. And, you know, I get what you're saying because, you know, yeah, the Bulls got – they broke the Bulls up. They broke the Blackhawks up. They broke the Sox. They broke the Sox up 2 weeks after the Sox won the World Series. Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that idea of, oh, it's the coach's fault, I hate to say it, but at the end of the day, they're always going to point it at somebody else. It's never going to be the owner's fault. It's always going to be the coach's fault. And in this situation, only because I watched the games and I really pay attention to the things that Joe Madden did, yeah, he was making bad decisions. And it affected the outcome of the game for a long time. So if they had any conversations about what he was doing prior to this, which I'm sure they did, then that's on Joe Madden. So let's talk about Jerry Reinsdorf. You talk about how bad, you know, what you figured out what he heard and all this other stuff and what he manages, and here you got a Bulls hat on. So what's the deal?
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you though. Like my fandom doesn't have anything to do with Jerry Reinsdorf, asshole. You know what I'm saying? Just like your fandom doesn't have anything to do with that Trump supporting ass ownership team that owns the Cubs. All right, so let's just get that bullshit out.
Politics have nothing to do with
exactly.
Exactly.
If I'm sure if I found out who Jerry Reinsdorf was like supporting politically, I'd be up fucking set. You know what I'm saying? I'd be up fucking set.
Well, we gonna find out tonight.
It's like
hey Google.
It's like making sausages, right? Like people be like, "Yo, you want to know what's in there?" Like, no, nigga, I don't want to see how sausage is made. I'm good. I like eating sausages. Let me eat the sausage. You know what I'm saying? But so while we're talking about shitty ownership, I was actually reading Forbes like a couple days ago, and there was an article in Forbes about Jerry Reinsdorf and how he runs the teams that he owns. And basically, he runs the teams that he owns in a way where he's mostly just trying to maximize his own personal profits without putting in exactly the most competitive team on the field. So I'm going to read a little bit from this Forbes article. It says, forget the pace of play or the juiced home run ball. The worst problem baseball faces is owners who treat their team like an opportunity to pile up as much personal cash as possible, only worthwhile if the gap between money coming in and money going out is as wide as they can get away with. Owning a sports franchise should be an investment in the greater good of the community where the team is based and not just a profit center. But there are several teams in Major League Baseball owned by people who just don't see it that way. Titan in that group is Chicago White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf. His cheapness has been common knowledge for years, but recently some of the insidious spirit behind it came to light. Former Marlins president Dave Sampson, who held that position from 2002 until he was fired by Derek Jeter in 2017, made a recent podcast appearance and shared a story about a tip he got early on from Reinsdorf. Here's my best advice to you. Finish in second place every single year, Sampson said Reinsdorf told him, because your fans will say, wow, we've got a shot. We're in it. But there's always the carrot left. There's always one more step to take. Sampson prefaced this nugget by saying that I like Jerry, but here we go, presumably because he knows just how destructive that advice is. Reinsdorf's sentiment is horrible because it's spot on. It works. A team run that way can get by with placating fans with year after year of also ran clubs while not spending a lot of money. And the White Sox haven't really been out here splurging when it came to free agents. They'll still make plenty of money, but not enough that it goes back to the roster or to the fans. According to Statistica.com, the White Sox were worth $1.6 billion in 2019, a value double what it was just 5 years ago. But in that span, Chicago has not won more than 78 games in a season. Since Reinsdorf bought the team in 81, they have reached the postseason just five times, one World Series title among them. And the White Sox have an unfortunate history of ownership from Charles Comiskey, who was famously stingy, to Bill Veeck, who traded away the team's young stars in the decades that he owned the team. During their run, the White Sox won a World Series in 1917, famously threw a World Series in 1919, and lost to the Dodgers in 1959. And in no time since Reinsdorf bought the team has there been better potential for a wide-open window of contention. Despite graduating Elroy Jimenez and dealing Cease in 2019, their farm system was ranked ninth best in baseball in August. Put the talent to come with the young core of Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, and Tim Anderson on offense, and Lucas Giolito, Michael Kopech, and Cease on the mound, and the White Sox should be high on everyone's list of breakout teams in 2020. The one thing missing for them will be a free agent addition or two. And the question going forward with that is whether or not Reinsdorf will come off the fucking cash to actually make the Chicago White Sox a contender. And as a fan, I am always frustrated with the fact that you got these big name free agents going out here and the White Sox have the cash and they are in a big market. They're a big market team. And yet we never actually really go out there and pursue them in the ways we should. And yo, that's fucked up. As a fan of the Chicago White Sox, that is fucked up. And there's a lot of baseball teams who are being run that way.
Sucks for y'all because all that money's going to the GOP. Don't you love the internet, how you can just find stuff out? But yeah, this ain't got to do with politics though. As me and you both know, this is not new. Michael Jordan, highest contract year was what, $36 million, right? Something like that.
He had signed like a couple $30 million contracts towards the end of his career with the Bulls. Yeah.
Right. In this day and age, you get a three-peat, mess around and get like Steph Curry got $200 million. You might get $300 million. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? His stinginess is not something that is a surprise to me. Unfortunately, he has had huge success in our lifetime, for sure. In our lifetime, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, the White Sox.
He doesn't own the Blackhawks.
He doesn't. I thought he had the Blackhawks. No. Okay. Well, still, he has probably one of the most famous basketball dynasties ever. There's no other team that has had two three-peats. But that's unfortunate because I remember when the White Sox had a hellified team back in like the early 2000s. Of course, me and you used to talk a whole bunch about that. They used to have a nice squad. But unfortunately, in this day and age, you got to pay to play. And Jerry, unfortunately, he doesn't see that is a factor in whether or not they can win.
See, that's the thing. I think this is the shit that pisses me off. I don't think he cares whether they win or not. That's the thing. Sure. That's the thing. I don't think Jerry Reinsdorf, I don't think ownership cares whether or not the team wins or not. So long as he's able to make money, he's good. So that's where that attitude of, well, shit, if we stay in second place and make motherfuckers think that we're going to be competitive this year, they're going to keep coming to the games. They're going to keep buying paraphernalia. They're going to keep, you know, watching the games on television. We get that ad revenue. I continue to make money, and we ain't got to win shit. And
well,
to a paying public who is ultimately like they want to support the team. It's a lot of civic pride that goes into how they support what teams they support and everything else. But you want to believe that your team is actually trying to win. And when you know that ownership ain't really trying to win, it can be very disheartening to be like, man, why am I even bothering with you motherfuckers if y'all not even trying? Because this nigga is basically just trying to hoard loot. Like, and I get it. Like, I keep asking, like, you like, okay, so how much more money can you really, like, you know, you can't spend it. You ain't going to spend it all. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I got a question. I don't know what Jerry does outside of the White Sox or what his family business was, because typically, you know, some of this was much bigger than him. But when I think of like these owners that own these professional teams, the professional team is kind of like just cherry on the cake, i.e., the Ricketts. We talk about the company. We talk about Big Market, right? The Ricketts, they are a billion-dollar family. When they bought the Cubs, it was something to do. All right? So they did spend the money. Let me give you another example. The Yankees. The Yankees have the largest payroll in the world out of every sports team. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but they have the biggest payroll in the world. But guess what? Right now, I have the Yankees winning the everything because their bullpen is fantastic. They got their starting nine is crazy, all right. But they're paying big dollars. They're paying for that.
But that's the point that I'm making, though, right? So typically, like we can point out some of the sports owners who you know are actually trying to go out there and win games. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, one person like Jerry Jones is one of those kind of owners where I think like he's so involved in what's going on with like even like the football aspect. Most of your owners aren't really that involved in their team in the way that Jerry Jones is. Steve Ballmer, the Clippers owner, who just bought, like, I think he's very involved and he wants that team to win. I think they're actually trying to get them out of the Staples Center with the Lakers. He's trying to get a whole other stadium built for the Clippers in Inglewood. Like, he wants to, like, he's very involved in the operations and spending the money because he just went out there and got fucking Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to come over there to the Clippers. So he's going out there, he's spending the money. I think everybody who's in this game, everybody who's in the sports ownership game understands that if you're going to be a championship contender, you're going to have to come off the bread. I think everybody understands that. The only difference is, I think in the NFL, with the salary cap being what it is, it kind of prohibits a lot of people being able to like just go out there and just spend because you got to, you know, you're accountable for the cap. But in some of these leagues, they have like what you would call a soft cap where, yeah, we got the salary cap, but if you go over it, we just going to tax that money that you pay over this salary cap. I think that's what they got like in the NBA. Baseball doesn't have a fucking salary cap. You can spend whatever the fuck you want in baseball, which is why the Yankees had the highest fucking payroll. And you know that the Yankees are trying to win every fucking year. Like the Yankees.
Every year.
I think the Yankees got like 27 fucking world championships because they're trying to win every year. And so for, like, say for Chicago, for years, man, Chicago was a long-suffering ass town because the White Sox suck. The Cubs suck. You had the one time where the Bears was good back in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Like the 85 Bears.
No.
You had that time when the Bears were good. They went like when they had, you know, Mike Ditka and what's my man name? Buddy I forget the defensive guru guy. I think anyway. You had that guy, but like you had that time, and then the Bulls became a thing. But for a long time, man, Chicago was long suffering, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the ownership of a lot of the teams, you see that a lot here in Detroit too, don't want to fucking spend the money. And it gets to a point where like we're in a time now where you got to spend the money, especially like even though Chicago is a large market and it's like the third largest city in the United States, it's still in fucking the Midwest and it's still cold as shit in in the wintertime. It's not the destination spot that say like a Miami would be, or like a Los Angeles would be, or like a warmer climate, you know, tropical, you know, people out in bikinis all year fucking long, that kind of shit. You gotta. I was just listening to Bomani Jones' Right Time podcast this morning, and he was talking to Wendell Carter Jr. For the Chicago Bulls. He said he got to Chicago. Bomani asked him about the winters in Chicago. He said, "Man, I had like a $200 like North Face jacket on." He like, "I wasn't ready for this cold." You know what I'm saying? He said he had to go buy him a $5,000 winter coat because he wasn't ready for the cold. Hey man, he from Atlanta and he got bread. So you wouldn't spend $5,000 on a coat. I probably wouldn't either, but I'm just saying.
Well,
truth of the matter is, I think when it comes to getting players to come in or competing for championships, you got to spend the bread. And it's a slap in the face to your fans to be out here like, yeah, I'm not really going to try to spend this money. I'm going to try to hoard as much of this motherfucking money as I possibly can. And whether we win or not is, you know, I don't really care all that much. I think it's just a slap in the face to the people who support that product.
Yeah, well, you know what? And that just that idea, that concept just doesn't apply to Chicago. Like you said, Detroit. It's so many big, and I'm going to say big market cities that are affected with that. And it sucks because you know what? It will actually bring more involvement with people in that city for that team. You know, you never know what can actually happen if you actually just invest in yourself. And that's really what it would be. But
your team will be worth a hell of a lot more money if you were winning. That's the
truth. Or how about this? Or do you be a conspiracy theorist and say they want the teams that they want to be the big name teams or invest in specific teams all by design, and they don't want that team to be that team at that point?
I don't buy that. Only because, like I said, Chicago being the big market that it is, I think is you'd be. It wouldn't be smart to have a big market out there like that where they were perpetually mediocre. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not smart. You make more money. Teams that, like, think about this, like the bandwagon effect of a team winning, right? Like, we talk about this all the time when, like, say for instance, like, remember when LeBron went to the Heat and suddenly there was Heat Nation? LeBron leaves the Heat. There is no more Heat Nation. You know what I'm saying?
It's Cold Nation.
Everybody like is in exile from Heat Nation. Nobody even thinks about Heat Nation anymore. Then it became Dub Nation. Suddenly everybody was a Golden State Warriors fan. Now it's Dub Nation. And so when you have a winning team, when you have like a consistently winning team, especially a championship contender consistently, your team becomes more valuable because not only do you get the people that live in the city who are prideful and want to root for the team for the civic shit, but then you got all these bandwagon motherfuckers that's across the country. They're like, yo, I like, the Dubs is my team. Like, they start talking in French, like, we gonna win the chip. Like, nigga, you wasn't even a fan last year. You was talking about the Celtics last year. Nigga, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? So I just think that it's short-sighted, or I think you make more money. I think you'd make more money if you actually invested in that team to try to make that team a championship contender. I think more people would latch onto that team because people love a winner.
Yeah, and I just wanted to go back to something you said real quick. You said the Heat Nation. Well, now with LeBron in L.A., Lake Show. It's back to the Lake Show again with the Lakers. So it's going to be a lot of Lake Show fans.
But hold on. But even with the Lake Show, right? So the Lake Show came from, you know, when Magic and everybody, but they were winning. You know what I'm saying? And you got a whole lot of lifelong fans from when they was winning. So with LeBron coming to the Lakers now, and them, you know, them having Anthony Davis and whatnot, suddenly the Lake Show becomes a thing again because then everybody anticipates them winning. And you know what that means? That means they're going to start spending more money on tickets. That means they're going to start spending more money on hats and on jerseys and all of that shit, because everybody wants to be associated with a winner. And so for these owners to be like, well, fuck all that, I ain't really going to invest in the team to get them to a championship spot, I'm going to just hang in the back and just collect all this money. You can collect more money if you invest.
Well, let me say this. You said something earlier. Well, they don't have to invest because people still going to buy, you know, the jerseys. They're still going to go to the games.
No. I didn't say that they would still do that. Like the joke is, like, here's the other tripped out part about it. People talk shit about what the fuck do the White Sox do? Guaranteed rate field?
Yeah.
Like, the motherfucker damn near empty. And it's because people know that he's not really investing in the fucking team. Like, they like, yo, we are all right, but nobody has any illusions that we like championship contenders right now. And, you know, as a baseball fan, yeah, I go to a game because I'm a baseball fan. I want to see baseball. I might not even be going to see the White Sox. I might be going to see whoever they're playing against that, you know, that day or whatever. I might be going to see that because I'm in Chicago, these are the teams that I got to, you know, I got to rock
with. Right. Well, my point is this, is that, okay, you have a fan base. Okay, let's just use Chicago. You got a two-team city in baseball. You have a fan base that is serious, that holds a serious rivalry with the North Side versus the South Side. And people are going to support that team just because they don't want to support the other team. Okay? Like, seriously. Like, you'll never see me in a White Sox anything.
Just like you would never see me rocking any Cub shit.
Exactly. And just off of that, and this is my point exactly, he has a brand that he's going to make money on strictly off of the fact that you got people that will only wear certain shit, okay? And people are still going to support the White Sox, win or lose. Look at me. As long as you've known me, all I've ever said is, go Cubs. That's it, period. Period, point blank. And at the end of the day, the Cubs will lose, I'm still like, yo, we got next year. It is Sox fans that's just like me. So Jerry is going to maximize all the profits off of that. And guess what? He's not bad for it. He's just bad for not thinking ahead.
Now,
that's what he's bad for.
Now, one of the things that I like, one of the things I'll say about that, though, right? So, like, when you talk about there being fans who will rock whatever, regardless. And I get that. But I think you limit yourself to a certain segment. You limit yourself to a niche audience, because you got the diehards. You got the diehards. But then you limit that to the diehards. You're going to milk the diehards, and then say, for instance, what if the diehards just, you know, start shrinking? As a matter of fact, one of the things about it, as much as I loathe to say this shit, one of the things that I will say is that despite the fact that the Cubs have been perennial losers for the vast majority of our lives, is that Cubs fans will still go to fucking Cubs games. You know what I'm saying? Cubs fans like, yeah, we ain't shit, but we gonna be out here getting drunk any motherfucker. We gonna get out here, get shit faced. Yeah, our team ain't shit, but fuck it. We out here together with these red, white, and blue ass, you know, uniforms with the pinstripes or whatever. We gonna look at the ivy in the field and like, man, ain't that beautiful? Ain't this old ass stadium beautiful? You know, that kind of shit. And then you got White Sox fans who are like, man, niggas suck, man. Fuck that. I ain't going to goddamn, cause you like, yo, I think in a certain way, you kind of turn folks off. You know what I'm saying? And I think that if they spent the motherfucking money, and I think the Cubs have spent money, a great deal of it, to become competitive, you spend the money, you expand that fan base, because a fan base really wants to attach themselves to a winner. Nobody wants to attach themselves really to mediocrity. And I think the other part about this is the fact that, like, a lot of people, especially when you start talking about the diehards are people who, from the time they came up as kids, that's the team that they was rooting for. There's a nostalgia there for them. That's pretty much what it's been for me. Like, from the time I was little, it was White Sox because I was from the South Side. That's what I was taught. You know what I'm saying? If you saw a nigga on the South Side talking about he was a cousin, like, nigga, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? But that's just pretty much what it was. And so, at a certain point, you just limit yourself with the fandom, and you got to spend that bread, man. It's a smack in the face to your fans, and like not go spend the bread and try to be a competitive team. And that goes for not just baseball, but like basketball, hockey, all of these fucking sports. If you want to win, you got to spend the bread. So,
yeah. Well, okay, looking at the time, you want to hit these scores real quick or what you want to do?
Go ahead, man. Do the scores.
Let's start from the top. Unfortunately, the Bears lost in the last 2 minutes of the Raiders game. And shout out to the Bears' backup quarterback. Dude is doing his thingy thing. But all that to say, back to the scores. Bears 21, Raiders 24. The badass Patriots 33-7.
Who are they playing? Tom Brady,
Redskins.
Okay.
The Cardinals and Bengals. Cardinals came up on top, 26-23. The Bills beat the Titans. I did not have that as an outcome. I had the Titans win that game. 14-7 Bills. Buccaneers lost to the Saints, 24-31. The Vikings beat the Giants, 28-10. The Jets lost to the Eagles, 31-6. The Ravens beat the Steelers, 26-3. That was a big game, and that was an OT game. Jaguars-Panthers. Panthers beat the Jaguars, 34-27. And, man, this is a hellified game. The Falcons and Texans combined put up 85 points. Amazing. Okay, Texans 53, Falcons 32. Crazy. That's like Madden numbers, like for real. Like skunk all day. Broncos-Chargers. Broncos beat Chargers 2013. Packers-Cowboys. This was before we started the show. Stephen A. was going in on the Cowboys, how they lost to the Packers 34-24. And then Thursday, the Rams – lost to the Seahawks. I don't know if you watched that game. That was a good game.
I saw it.
29-30 in the literally at the end. And then currently right now, the Colts are playing the Chiefs. It's 30 seconds left in the half. And it's tied 10-10. Amazing, because the Chiefs are, to me, probably in the top three in the whole league. And the Colts, they really don't have that much going on for themselves. And they're holding on. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Tomorrow, Monday Night Football game, it's going to be the Browns versus the 49ers. Right now, the 49ers are undefeated. The Browns are 2-2. 49ers look good, man. They got a nice defense. They got a nice offense. Young, too. Let me add that in there. But I will be watching this game tomorrow. I think it's going to be a good game.
Well, all right. That's your NFL scoreboard recap, brought to you by Cliff. All right.
So, da-da-da, da-da-da.
So, yo, another thing I kind of wanted to talk about, man, was there's been some laws being passed in states where they're trying to enforce college football players being able to be compensated for their likenesses and not being penalized by the NCAA. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read a bit from this article from the New York Times, because California became the first state that says athletes could be paid under a new California law. So we're going to read a little bit from this. It says, it has been a bedrock principle behind college sports. Student athletes should not be paid beyond the cost of attending a university. California threatened that standard on Monday after Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill to allow players to strike endorsement deals and hire agents. The new law, which is supposed to take effect in 2023, attacks the National Collegiate Association's Athletic Association's long-held philosophy that college athletes should earn a degree, not money, for playing sports. That view, also under assault in several other states and on Capitol Hill, has held up even as the college sports industry swelled into a behemoth that generated at least $14 billion last year, and as athletes face mounting demands on their bodies and schedules. Under the California measure, thousands of student athletes in America's most populous state will be allowed to promote products and companies trading on their sports renown for the first time. And although the law applies only to California, it sets up the possibility that leaders in college sports will eventually have to choose between changing the rules for athletes nationwide or barring some of America's sports powerhouses from competition. In an interview with the New York Times, Newsom described the law as a big move to expose a farce and to challenge a system that is outsized in its capacity to push back. So, after this, Illinois has also, there's a congressman, I believe, in Illinois. Let me pull that up. I got this out of the Sun-Times. It says an Illinois lawmaker is sponsoring a bill to allow college student athletes to sign endorsement deals, hire agents, and benefit financially from the use of their likeness after California became the first state in the nation to pass such a law earlier this week. So there could be a bit of a snowball effect for states across the country who feel as though college athletes should be paid for or be able to be compensated for their likeness while you know, doing their pursuits in college. So question I got for you, because this law in California doesn't go into effect until 2023. Do you think that the NCAA will come to heel before 2023 and be like, you know what? We got to come off this guap. We got to let these dudes do something.
My best answer to that question is this. It's a little premature to sit here and give you a solid yes or a solid no. Mm-hmm. California is, I mean, I'm just going to go outside of sports. As we all know, if you don't know, you're just a little young. They kind of like that free state, you know, like they the first state to do the whole weed thing. Okay.
No, they weren't. Colorado.
Well, okay. Well, when I say the first state to do the weed thing, the whole weed thing been going on in California a long time, man. Long time. So I'm just saying, California is known for the hippie thing. They're loose with a lot of their laws. So when it comes to paying the players, is it a surprise that California was first? Not to me. Before 2023, I'm going to say.
That's basically just like 4 years from now.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, honestly, if you're south of the Mason-Dixon, you ain't going to be feeling California. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I don't know. I can't say yes. I can't say no. What will definitely take for that to happen is some really big schools, and I'm not saying a few. We're gonna have to say like the Pac-10, the Big 12, the SEC is gonna have to come in like globs. It can't be like a school over here and a school up here. It's gonna have to come like as a package where people are coming together. I'm not gonna say people, colleges are coming together to say they want this for their students. The reason, and I'm going to say this as far as my opinion, I actually had an article I wanted to read, but you said a few things that it said there already. The fact that it's not going to have anything to do with the college or the university, they're doing this on their own behalf, like marketing, advertising, stuff like that. It has no play on the university, so I don't think that it's going to have that much backlash unless people really just don't want it for the athletes. I'm like kind of in between, you know. It's unfortunate that the schools are making so much money on the players, and I'm going to say it like this because this is just the way it's coming to my mind. And all they're getting is education. Okay, I remember a few years back, Ohio State. That dude, he traded his assigned jersey for a tattoo, and they suspended him for the whole year. You know, so it's a lot of things that have happened currently and in the past that have prevented some players prior from going professional or. Some guys getting suspended and maybe not even finishing their education based off of what they did to get a few dollars. I remember Jalen Rose said that they were doing all types of stuff because they had no money at all. And they were the biggest college basketball team that me and you, I mean, the Fab Five was everything to us. I mean, I thought they were like a legit NBA team because they were that good and they were that popular, but he said they were actually broke as hell, you know? So, The college athlete, what you're given in trade for your gift is a free education. So I'm not saying it's a not to not pay them, but the fact that they are maximizing their profits off these players' backs is a whole nother animal. You know what I'm saying? So you can look at it so many different directions, but in order for this bill to pass nationally, it's going to have to be some really big schools that come together and say they want this for their athletes.
All right. So I got a couple thoughts. One of the thoughts that I had was the fact that the way that these laws seem to be structured is simply allowing these players to sign endorsement deals. They can have, you know, they can have like a shoe, you know, their own shoe apparel, or they can have, you know, they can endorse a sports drink, or they could, you know, endorse like a car dealership or some shit like that. And they can be compensated for their likeness while doing that. And one of the things I think is crucial about that is that it does, it kind of takes a bit of the burden off of the school. 'Cause you know, a lot of people are saying that the kids should be paid, like the athletes should be paid. I think it takes, if you're talking about a guy being able to be compensated, I think if it's about them having endorsements and about them being able to sign agents and about them being able to just profit off of their likeness, I think you take that burden off of the school, because the school doesn't have the, they don't feel as though they have to pay this player, right? Because he's going to get money through other means. Like, truth be told, a lot of these players are getting these kind of funds through other means. They're just not being caught all the time, right? Like, so you got a lot of little side deals that go on with that. So I think to some degree, it kind of takes a little bit of the burden off of the schools to feel the pressure of, well, we got to pay these players. And if we got to pay them, then we got to pay, you know, the lacrosse team. And then we got to pay the swimmers. And then we got to pay for all of these players. I mean, for all of these sports teams that don't generate revenue. Because, you know, the football team and the basketball team are generally the money makers from all of these universities. And then they spread those monies to all of the other non-revenue sports. The other thing about this, and you were talking about, you know, colleges coming together or conferences coming together to decide whether or not these players should be eligible, whether it comes to monies and whatnot. I think it depends on, like you were even talking about, if you're south of the Mason-Dixon line, there's a lot of schools that just won't be good with it. But I think what will happen is, say you are like north of the Mason-Dixon line, and your state has allowed for players to be compensated for, you know, allow them to seek compensation for their likeness and whatnot. What you'll find is a lot of the players that would typically go to an SEC school or a Big 12, or like mostly the SEC, but like an SEC or ACC school, what you'll find is that a lot of those players will be like, wait a minute. I mean, I like Florida State, but I can't make no money at Florida State. And suddenly motherfucking Ohio State and Michigan looking real good to me right now. I don't even like the cold, but I like money. And so it could generate pressure on a lot of those teams. Even if you did have Southern conferences that, or Southern schools that just didn't want to allow this, like if it's happening in all of these other places and it's causing those schools to lose out on blue chip recruits, then suddenly you put the pressure on them. They're like, well, I don't know, man. I can't keep losing fucking running backs to goddamn like North Dakota, you know what I'm saying? Like all of a sudden North Dakota is a national power because they paying bread, you know what I'm saying? Suddenly you're like, wait a minute, North Dakota is ranked number 5? You know what I'm saying?
Like, the first NCAA national championship in school history.
Like, nigga, when did that happen? Shit, when the money started changing hands, when we was able to go out here and get these oil dealerships, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I think to a large degree, by taking this tact where the states are saying, well, in this state, players are allowed to do this, it could put pressure on the NCAA, especially if there's a snowball effect where more and more states, you know, take on this sort of legislation where they're like, okay, so you got California and you got Illinois and then maybe Pennsylvania hops on, and then you got, you know, New York hopping on, and then suddenly it starts becoming a snowball effect, and you got players looking at this like, well, I can make money if I go here. I can make money if I go here. Now, if I go to LSU, I mean, it's LSU. It's nice and all, but shit, they ain't paying no money. I can't get no money, man. I can't hang out with Lil Wayne and, like, you know, endorse the Lil Wayne album or something, whatever the fuck, you know. But I think it could put pressure on the NCAA to where maybe they're like, okay, we got to do something because we can't allow for especially, and I think what'll happen is a lot of those schools that are losing players because they're going to other states that are making money, it'll be the pressure from the schools on the NCAA to say, hey, we got to fix this because I can't keep losing motherfucking running backs and wide receivers to that guy up north. Or I can't keep losing, like, to wherever they're paying money at. So I think it could happen. It could, and I think the momentum is there. We're talking about this, you know, more and more and more prominent professional athletes and more prominent, you know, fresh out of college athletes are saying like, yo, man, we should have been getting paid for all the shit that they want us to do. It's not about just like going out there playing basketball and going to class. Hell, I got practice 3 times a day. I got, you know, study hall. I'm flying to this tournament in Hawaii and I got this midterm that I'm really supposed to be doing. But, you know, I know the TA probably going to do it for me, but still. You know what I'm saying? It's much more than a job than, you know, a lot of them may have even been prepared for. And then the other part is that when you're looking at like basketball players and football players, they're mandated to go to school. You know what I'm saying? Like in the NBA, you got to have at least 1 year away from high school in order to go to the NBA. And, you know, Brandon Jennings was one of the first to say, well, fuck it. I'm not going to college. I'm going to go ahead and play overseas. You'll start seeing more of that. And in the NFL, like I remember Maurice Claret was trying to go after his freshman year and he went to court for all that and everything. And I think there's a rule in the NFL where you have to be at least 3 years removed from your high school graduation in order for you to play NFL football. So I think because these two sports are the main generators of revenue for college football, for colleges, yo, man, I think these sorts of legislations being meted out across the country, it's in Illinois, it's in California. I think if it starts rolling out to more and more states, then we'll maybe see a bit more movement on this player compensation shit.
I'm still laughing at you. North Dakota gonna be a perennial college
team. Just saying, man.
Let me tell you something, man.
I'm just saying, like all of a sudden the Idaho Vandals gonna be motherfuckers gonna be like number one in the nation. You like, nigga, the Idaho Vandals, nigga, they didn't even know they had a team.
I'm gonna say about 5 years ago, the University of Green Bay came down to Chicago. No exaggeration, man. They must have got about 4 out of the 10 top 10 in the city recruits to go to Green Bay. Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay is the size of, like, you know, your shoe. And they did that because, guess what? They offered some fantastic scholarships. But I can see a team like that where you get 4 out of the top 10 in the nation going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they kill it.
Yeah. I mean, I exaggerate when I talk about North Dakota and Idaho, and I know damn well Green Bay ain't going to be one of those spots.
But seriously, it's an example. I never thought about that.
If Wisconsin decided to do that, chances are the University of Wisconsin would be the biggest beneficiary of that kind of like legislation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like even
yeah.
like here in Michigan, Michigan State would be the biggest beneficiaries of that. But to the like to some of the like the like maybe like 4-star, 3-star recruits, yo, some of these other places where like yeah, I can go out and I can be like on the practice squad at the University of Florida, or I could be up here in Idaho hawking cars and shit, making money while playing for the Idaho Vandals. You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing it out there, man. Just throwing it out there.
It's a good point, though. I mean, I can't lie. It's a good point.
Appreciate it, man. I try sometime. Now, the other thing, man, we've been talking about some real, like, policy heavy and, like, you know, wonky shit here tonight. But, yo, we're going to get into some silly shit, man. So, have you heard about this Dame Lillard Shaq rap beef?
Okay. Have I heard? Of course I've heard, because I follow Shaq on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
I am not a big fan of athlete turned entertainer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't remember back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, everybody had a label and everybody was rapping. Latrell Sprewell, Tracy McGrady, all of Kobe, you know, Shaq.
Chris Webber. As a matter of fact, I think Chris Webber produced one of the songs on a Nas album. I forget what the song was, though.
Well, my point is, ain't nobody ever really pan out, okay? And that ain't because...
Shaq went platinum.
Shaq went platinum because Shaq had a following because Shaq was a phenom. I mean, I remember. I mean, that's the way I thought Shaq was. I used to look at in order, like top to bottom, no matter what sport, Michael Jordan, Shaq. That was me back in 93. Mm. Mike was the man. Shaq was like, whoa.
So you take the tack that Damian Lillard pretty much had, because this is what started the whole beef between the two of them, this whole rap beef between the two of them. So Dame Lillard went on Joe Budden's podcast.
And I love Joe Budden's podcast.
Oh, that's unfortunate. But he went on Joe Budden's podcast and they asked him about, you know, athletes rapping and shit. And they asked him about Shaq, because right now, as it stands, Shaq is probably the most successful athlete turned rapper. Right?
Yes.
He is the most successful.
He's yes.
Like, he's the most successful one. And Dame went on there to say that, like, yo, I don't see Shaq as a rapper. Most people look at it as though, yo, Shaq's rapping. Not that Shaq is a rapper. And that's why Shaq was able to have the success that he did, right? And so this is what kicked off the beef between the two of them. So we're going to... let's see. We're gonna start off with the Shaq diss, because the Shaq diss came after this shit with Dame Lillard being on the Joe Budden podcast. So let me pull this up so we can all partake.
Why are you pulling that up? If AG ever watches this podcast, don't ever bring this over to my house.
Oh, that shit's disgusting. I don't like that at all. All right, so here we go. This is the Shaq freestyle dissing Dame Lillard. Check it out, y'all.
All right. You think you got better music than Shaq?
I think I rap better than Shaq. People weren't looking at it like it's a real rapper. It was like that Shaq rapping.
That's Dame rapping. The daddy has to come out of retirement and spank one of these undisciplined children.
Now it's time to be disciplined.
It's time to put up that belt and whip a little ass.
Here we go.
Yo, yeah, what's wrong with these little cats? I can tell they little listen to their little raps. Always bragging about their little max contract. Dame got a little money when it comes to Shaq. You see this flow, got a little Hall of Fame on it. Dame shoot jumpers, Shaq still bang on it. Are you kidding me, lyrically, not physically, mentally, vividly? Seen it before, you might give it to me. I'm on a yacht in Little Italy, riddle me. When you was young, did you see my MVP like a trilogy? MVP candidates, you are not one. Platinum plaques on my wall, go and get you some. Lyrically, I'm 3-time finals MVP. I can't believe some far thought as a team. How you say that you better than these when you ain't got more chatter than these? What you talking about? Legendary, I'm a hip-hop scholar. I'm trying to get a billion, give the fuck about a dollar. Little boys better stay in their place next time they ask you about Shaq, man, fix your face. This is more. Anybody that knew me know I love when they go there. You better Shaq stop talking, you a liar. The baddest baller out of Oakland, J.R. Ryder. B. Shaw, Larry Taylor, Jason Kidd. Ask him when you see him what the Diesel done did. Fanboys should never disrespect the idols. Shaq name is historical like Jesus in the Bible. Students always talk about they better than a professor. I'm an expensive Lamborghini, you a bounty charge Tesla. Take your time to respond, there is no hurry. You'll never be Westbrook, never be Steph Curry. Next time you see the game, address me to Emperor. Pull your little tongue out, check your little temperature. I like your little game, yes I really adore you. Stop smoking Portland weed, that shit ain't really good for you. You was a little dirty booty boy up in diapers. My garage was filled with Porsche, Benz, bikes, and Vipers. I was courtside watching Hulk and Roddy Piper. I was playing with D. Scott, he was the real sniper. I was in the studio with Nas, Big, and Jigga. I was living up and open, bumping Too Short. I was on time with Japan to E-40 from the same place as Red Man, Laura Hill, and Naughty. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. I see you loved yourself so much, you should sex yourself. You told these people that you better than Shaq. Next time I see you, show me four rings, show me a platinum plaque. Do me a favor, type Shaq in YouTube. I ain't playing 10 years, I got the same talent as you do. What's in your wallet? American Express or Visa? Talking like you blind, you ain't even Trevor Ariza. If you don't know who I am, check your little sucker. Google me, they say I was a lazy motherfucker. Got enough cash, I could buy your whole team. Ocean, I forgot I own the Sacramento Kings. If you a fucking rapper, Dame, then what the fuck am I? I'm accomplishments, you can't reach, I'm too high. Call me when you get a back to back to back to back. Why would I wanna be a rapper? Rappers wanna be Shaq. That's just a spanking. Next time I'ma really discipline your ass. Keep my name out your mouth, little boys. I paved the way. Show some respect to the dumb daughter. If you're the best, just be the best. I don't really care.
shoe deal. Huh? Me, that's who? Who built this shit, Joe Biden? Me, that's who? Get out of here, little dumbass little boys. What's wrong with y'all? I got kids y'all age. My baby mamas make more than some of y'all make.
Yo, let me say this. I'm gonna say this real quick because I don't want to spend all night talking about Shaq and Dame. Shaq knows how to rap. Shaq knows how to rap, and I've always said Shaq knows how to rap. Does that mean that he is, like, you know, in my top 10? No. You know, can he put some rhymes together?
I don't think anybody's, like, making that argument at all. Like, yo, when I think of top rappers, like, yo, nigga, you got to put Shaquille O'Neal up there. You know what I'm saying? I don't think nobody's doing that. But I think it's entertaining, to say the least, man. Like, for one, I think this is all in fun, man. I don't think they really, like, beefing and no bullshit like that. I think that, like, Dame said that shit on that podcast. Shaq being who he is, not really taking those slights, you know, he's not going to let somebody slight him and not say nothing. You know what I'm saying? We go back to the whole shit with him and Kobe. Kobe saying, like, if Shaq had my worth ethic, we'd have 12 championships. You know what I'm saying? Shaq was like, yo, nigga, if you'd have passed the ball more, we'd have more championships. Like, they cool, but that's just, he's not going to take that shit lying down. So I just thought it was funny that he even decided to go to the booth to rap and do this. And then when I first seen this, he was actually responding with a fucking puppet. It was a puppet doing the rapping. So that was the Shaq shit, right? So Dame had a response to that. We're gonna listen to Dame come back with his hot fire bars. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna drop some bars. Where is it? Okay, yeah, here it is, right here.
Dollar. He say he the GOAT, I come for his body. Plant him cause he bought the copies. Should've just passed me the torch, I got no remorse. I beat him like Rocky. I fill the tank up with diesel. You jealous of me and I see you. Cause on this day, originals just can't fuck with this sequel. I'm new school, got new hits. Space Jam, not blue chips. Hangman, yo shoe shit. Dame 6, I'm too lit. Big name, got big brand, but you corny. Gift bags get purchased. Every time you get horny, then they repo. Love you when you was in beast mode. Loki thought you was a cheat code. Know that you shoot for the cheap hoes. Shoot any work like your freak throws. Know you see my pockets deep, so you flexing ain't really a thing, bro. We both could be working at Kinko's. And Kobe, when you them rings don't owe. Nursery rhymes spitting. Small cars sitting, oh. Icy hot poster boy. TNT snitching you. Big man hating. Mad at my existence. Had a song with Bad Boy. No Jordan to the Pistons. Still getting to the chicken. This ain't nothing new to me. I always been a chosen one. Nothing you could do with me. This what rich looked like before the dough and jewelry. I'm from where Tom Hanks from, but no time foolery. Do it for the fam. Ain't no magic, no Kazam. Ain't no flexing for the gram. I'm for real. I promise you don't really want to meddle with me still. All your personalities, real characters could get revealed. We coulda did a track together. Just pass the torch. Was lit without you, brother. I was busting off the porch. Call 911, ha, dusting off the Porsche. Look inside that statue at Staples and find a corpse. Confused at why you barked up the tree, cause I'ma do ya. Versace on my body, you finally gon' meet Medusa. Don't know if I address you as Shaq or Shaq Fu. Your old head can't see me, he blinded Slick Rick the ruler. Pride all in the way and you know it, you big cocky. Heard my rhymes and quickly turned into a disc jockey. Nigga wanna play with the monster, you big poppy. Was mad at Steph, unanimous trophy, you sick probably. It'd be wise to move on, Aristotle, cause this a gimme. All the money in the world, but traded you for penny. Recorded with the legends of your time, I get with plenty. Never run from smoke, I'm the type to climb up the chimney. Was really feeling threatened, at least enough to diss me. Shoulda knew this was a shootout, I could never let you zip me. Said that Max was little, that 250 million crispy. Can't recall you getting that when I was cruising on a 10 speed. This a different era, you the past and you the past. Said yourself that I'm a Tesla, no longer need diesel gas. Kinda like the Cavs, ain't really need diesel ass. And even in Miami, won that on the strength of flags. You had a moment, OG, you the pioneer. But I didn't reach the top at this point and the climb is clear.
All my bars is colder than any climate that's near. So if you're looking for the stop to the rain, you can find it here. Feel.
All right.
Okay, who won? To you.
I like them both.
Sight.
I like them both. I like them both for different reasons. I think I like Dame's like flow better than Shaq's. I like his beat choice better than Shaq's. Like Shaq's flow kind of reminds me, like he's got an old school flow, you know what I'm saying? One of the things about Shaq that I did like was the fact that like most all of the shit that Shaq was saying was like true. Like when you think about like when folks talk about like say like Ether and like Takeover, like a lot of the stuff in like Takeover was like facts, and Ether was more so just like Nas just like talking shit, but wasn't a whole lot of facts behind what he was saying. So I mean, I like them both though. Like I like Dame's flow. I like his beat choice better. And I think that Shaq was like factual in every damn thing he said. Well, you know, he was braggadocious, but I think there was a lot more facts behind what Shaq was saying.
Maybe I'm an old school dude now. I don't like the new flow like that. Shaq definitely sounds like he's still rapping in 91. So I'm,
that's you know what I'm saying? Like, you still sound like Cool Moe D, man.
And what I fix. You know, Dime's effects. But no, so the fact that they're the way they flow, I don't like neither one of them, but it's just going to come down to the words. And Shaq, to me, because this is a battle rap, Shaq was deliberately aiming everything he was saying to him. Dame wasn't doing that through his whole 16. So he didn't win that.
He wasn't?
No.
Well, no. I didn't say Dame won. I think
I'm saying Shaq won.
Yeah, I'm saying it was a tie. Now, see, the other part about this, too, is Dame released another motherfucking track.
Oh, well, guess what? That's going to be the last time I hear some Dame litter music, okay? So if you want to play it, go ahead, but that's going to be the last time I hear some Damian Lillard music.
So check it. I have yet to hear this song. I don't know what it sounds like. I don't know what he's saying. I saw it today, and I was like, this will be, you know, I can go to this. Yeah, so here it is.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You got Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless and all these sports people talk about championships and basketball. This is rap. Y'all out y'all jurisdiction. You can't save them. Dollar. He easy working, he know it, but fans ride you. I know you know when niggas really love you, they a lie too. And it hit different when pressure really apply, fool. Luffy cutting checks and his BM sponsoring side dudes. I can walk away and not lose a second of sleep. Ran up on a wolf cause I got the texture of sheep. Classy with my bullshit, I profess a lesson in beef. Paying cats to write is deceased or pay for relief. Use a cloud chaser, even after all the success. Fake love on the camera, he capping all at the desk. Ghost riders on deck, checker bars, no chest. Hell in front of land of the muscle cars. No flex, you not a rapper. You comedy commentary and actor. Feed him with a slingshot, you better call the pastor. David and Goliath, your stature's a non-factor. Friends really love you, they scatter and contact you. Like, Shaq, just let it be, cause no weapons gon' ever prosper. Remember, you're a cop with endorsements and you're a doctor. I'ma get the Tommy and do the diesel like Proctor. And your weight rising, you might get sing at the opera. You awkward, I know you got habits to cover bases. Head up in the clouds, but it's rumblings in the basement. Tell the world, prepare for a harder fall on the pavement. Then I put you under, today I'm working the grave shift. Raised real solid, I'm dollar, but not for dollar sign. Only Dame you beat was 2000, and that was Stoudemire. Music to my ears when a phony or any coward try. Cut out all the lights on this OD, I'm like the power guy. I think your pen kinda sketchy, you should've left me. Sensitive, I almost confused you with Lisa Leslie. How you swing on chuckin' and try to go be his bestie? Loving mosh pits full of men, you be looking zesty. What you thought, cause you popular shit was sweet? We spot insecurities far away in the east. I don't wanna hear it, don't bargain with me for peace. Cause we gon' shoot it out till you bow or just never speak. I mean it, I'm not the one, I don't care about what you did. What you done lately, don't tell me about what was then. When
You was in your prime getting faded off Fifth and Hen. I was rocking J's and my pops was in Sadie Benz. So basically all that money not gonna impress me. I've been on the thinnest of ice and turned into Gretzky. Even if you cut me a check, you can never check me. This an epic moment in sports, I need an SB. I know you only competing for some attention. You was hot then, but today you honorable mention. All your closest folks need to come with an intervention. The general commercial's a little overextended. Cut it short, man, it really ain't worth the legacy. Rather get embarrassed instead of live with the jealousy. The game moved on, you was gone, she's no Penelope. You play with GP and B. Shaw, you know the pedigree. A wise man said a clown gon' always perform. Rather stay in character instead of weather the storm. You can call me Damon cause my supremacy's born. Told me sex myself, stay away from the porn. I done talked music with Jada, Juvie, and Weezy. Pusha T, Common, and Jesus with me like Easy. Button podcasts and do Special Olympics with Stevie. No wonder you feel away, and I fuck with G-Eazy. Jamie Foxx, 2 Chainz, I really rock with the dopest. I was in the stew all night with Marsha Ambrosius. You gon' say you always had it rocking like a boulder. The real original was yelling, no limit soldier.
Cliff pretty much ignored like 90% of this motherfucking song. The nigga took his headphones off. I actually think that track was kind of hot. I thought it was kind of hot, man. Now, whether or not he won the battle or not, I think he, the fact that he, like, I don't know if he going for the back-to-back, like Drake, but I don't know, man.
Stop. Look, I'm not even a look. I like Drake, but I wouldn't even put that in my mouth right now.
No. I'm saying by dropping 2 tracks,
I get it. Back to back, I get. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's all I'm going for. So you still think Shaq won? Basically, I still don't know. Shaq got to come back with another one. Shaq got to come back with another one, man. We might have to talk about this in episode 57. Yo, man, let's get ready to get the fuck up out of here, man. Let's go ahead and wing it.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight, man?
If you're an athlete, don't rap, okay? How about that? How about to all the athletes that get $200 million contracts and they got their boys, they grew up with like, yo, man, dog, you know, I was with Drake last night. We was in the studio, man. Let's go drop this $200,000 on this equipment. Yo, stick to what you're good at, all right? Don't try to go out here and act like you a damn rapper. Oh, that was horrible. That beat, I thought I was going to, like, shoot myself. I'm about to go see a therapist, like, tomorrow morning because that beat was horrible. Oh, and his lyrics are horrible. Hold on. You shouldn't be saying anything right now.
Right.
Horrible.
You're right.
Horrible. Don't be a hater all your life. Don't be a rapper ever. We're going to make a shirt that says, if you're an athlete, don't be an entertainer. Put it on. They are entertainers. Oh.
Are you done?
I want my 2 minutes.
It's been a while, man. It's been a while.
Damian Lillard, stop. You're a good player. Stop rapping.
All right. So, guess it's my turn to wing it.
And that's not what I wanted to wing it on, but it was on my heart. If there's a heart in the house tonight.
So, check this out. I think I'm going to wing it on the fact that I was watching ESPN earlier this week. And they were judging whether or not, like, who was it, like, the top player in the NBA right now? Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi, or KD? And many people believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the NBA right now.
Woo!
That's as great as a player Woo. That Giannis is, that's a stretch. That's like a stretch as long as Giannis' motherfucking reach. You know what I'm saying? Giannis got wingspan. He could reach, man, but I think that's a little bit beyond his reach. I think it's right now LeBron James, number one. Kawhi Leonard a close number 2.
Ooh.
And I don't know who it is after that. Like, KD not going to be playing this year. Giannis might be number 3. I don't know. But the fact that they had Giannis number 1, I think he had a great season last season. Took the Bucks further than I we haven't seen the Bucks, you know, as a good team in quite some time. It's hard to build a really good basketball team in a market as small as Milwaukee. But the best player in basketball, nah, I don't see it. Shit, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Come on, man.
Your two minutes is up. Your two minutes is up. That's gonna go like 10.
I basically should be up here like, just throw the motherfucking towel, man. I'm done. We've been on here for a while, man. We on here like an hour and a half. We ain't did a show this long in quite some time, man. But it's time for us to get on up out of here. But of course, before we do, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer Chicken Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll replay those messages here on the show and respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails, and of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to those here as well. Follow me on Twitter. My name on these Twitter streets is Mr_Span. And you can also hit up the boy Cliff where?
On Twitter. Your boy's on Twitter, laying it down. No, I'm just playing. Twitter and Instagram, DJ Neff Music.
There you go.
On both platforms, DJ Neff Music, baby.
There you go. On Twitter and Instagram. And I'm Mr. Span on both of those, too. So go ahead and do that. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. It's one way to help the show grow. Tell everybody why you fucking with us over here at the Beer Chicken Podcast, man. Now, another thing, too, I need to make the note of this. I know that you can get the Beer Chicken Podcast on the Spanport Podcast Network main feed, but if you would be so kind to go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, find the Beer Chicken Podcast there and leave a review for the podcast itself over there. It really does help for you guys to do that. It doesn't cost you any money, just a couple minutes of your time to go ahead and tell people why you're fucking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Also, you can go to our website at www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we decide to put one up. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate that money over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Real talk. You can go to our store. Get yourself some merch. Get you a fly t-shirt like the one I got on right now, man. Go ahead, get you some merch. Get you a t-shirt or like a coffee mug or a thermos. I like saying thermos. Get you a thermos. you know, go ahead, get you some gear, man. It's hoodie season, man. Go ahead and get you a fly nice little, you know, hoodie, man. Do that. And, yo, I think that's everything. We'll talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam. Peace.
Holla back.